Hey, Faith Lutheran Church, it's Pastor Terrell, and I want to spend a moment today for our episode of Sunday on Mondays, and I want to reflect on our gospel readings. There, you know, it's from John chapter 6. We have our last section, our last reading from this chapter coming up on Sunday, and there's a couple of verses and an idea that's sort of embedded in this chapter of Scripture that I think is important. It answers the question, how are we saved? How are we converted or regenerated? Is it God's work? Is it our work? Can we contribute in some way to it? All right, and I'm going to read a couple of verses, but before I read those verses, I want to read something that the Reformers wrote way back in the 1500s, the beginning of the Reformation. It's from our confessions, and it's from the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord, and this is just a short portion of Article 2. And here's what they write. They say, in spiritual and divine things, these are the things of God, that is, your conversion, okay, the work of God, which apply to salvation of the soul, a person is like a lifeless statue, which uses neither eyes nor mouth, neither sense nor heart. For a person neither sees nor perceives God's terrible and fierce wrath resulting from sin and death. He always continues in his security, even knowingly and willingly. In this way, he falls into 1,000 dangers and finally into eternal death and damnation. No prayers, no supplications, no warnings, indeed, also no threats, no chiding are of any help. Indeed, all teaching and preaching is lost on him until he is enlightened, converted, and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. For only mankind was created for renewal by the Holy Spirit. According to God's just strict sentence, he has utterly cast away the fallen evil spirits forever. Nevertheless, out of special pure mercy, he has willed that poor fallen human nature might again become and be capable of and participate in conversion, God's grace and eternal life. This comes not from its own natural active skill, ability, or capacity, for a person's nature is stubbornly hostile to God. It comes only from pure grace through the gracious, effective working of the Holy Spirit. Before a person is enlightened, converted, regenerated, renewed, and drawn by the Holy Spirit, that's an important word for one of these verses in John chapter 6. Before a person is enlightened, converted, regenerated, renewed, and drawn by the Holy Spirit, he can by himself and by his own natural power begin, work, or agree to work in spiritual things and in his own conversion and regeneration as little as a stone, a block, or a lump of clay. He can control the outward members of his body and hear the gospel. To a certain extent, he can meditate on it and discuss it, as is to be seen in the Pharisees and hypocrites, like in Matthew chapter 23. Nevertheless, he regards it as foolishness and cannot believe it. In this respect, he acts even worse than a block, for he is rebellious and hostile to God's will unless the Holy Spirit is effective on him and kindles and works in him faith and other abilities pleasing to God and obedience. You see, the Reformers had this understanding that because of our sin, because of this inherent sin within us, we are naturally rebellious against God and the things of God. Just like the Pharisees, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to live according to it. We're not interested in the things of God. We are, they said, like a rock, a lump of wood or clay. We're a lifeless, powerless blob. Until the Spirit of God softens our hearts and renews and regenerates us. And so let me look. Let's turn to John chapter 6 in your Bible. And I just want to point out just a couple of verses. You can hear this idea several times throughout this whole chapter. So chapter 6, you can read from verse 22 all the way to the very end, verse 71. But just look first at verse 29. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. This is the work of the Father, His work is is for you to believe. This is his work, to believe in him and give for him to give eternal life. Okay, so Jesus is life. He is the bread that gives life. And so it's the Father's work. This is God's work, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you believe and that you have life and forgiveness and salvation. All right? This is his goal. He says, Jesus says this again later on. He says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father," verse 40, "that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So this is what the Father is after. This is what God, our triune God, is after. That is life and salvation for all who believe. In verse 44, you have a question here, or we come to verse 44 really with the question then, well, how do you believe? Well, Jesus writes, Jesus speaks to the Jews. They're grumbling because, you know, he's Joseph's son. How could he be saying these things? And Jesus tells them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one," this is verse 44, "no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." How do you believe? How do you come to the Father? Or how do you come to belief in the Son? You come because the Father draws you. And now this word is not, it's not like entices you. This is more like a forceful yanking. You know, like I heard one commentator give the example that you're like a kid who's in the playing in the street. Here comes the construction truck and somebody just yanks you right out of the way, right? You are in the face of death and someone has yanked you out, and this is what the Father is doing. He is urgently pulling you, forcefully drawing you to himself out of the jaws of eternal death into the peace of eternal life, okay? No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. All right, now, move ahead to verse 63, and here's something the Reformers spoke here. They said, "Before a person is enlightened, converted, regenerated, renewed, and drawn by the Holy Spirit, he can by himself and by his own natural powers do nothing. He's like a block of clay." Okay, so here's what Jesus says. Verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all." Right? Salvation comes only from pure grace through the gracious, effective working of the Holy Spirit. So if you decide that you love and follow Jesus, it is because the Spirit of God has saved you. If you decide that you love the Lord, right, that you want to be baptized, it is because the Spirit of God has saved you. He has worked in you. He has reshaped your heart of stone into something that is life and flesh and blood and new. All right? So I'm just going to leave it at that. I'll let you think about and reflect on it. Reread John chapter 6. Reread Ephesians chapter 2. Reread Romans, maybe. Okay? This is a reread Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. Fallen man only rebels against God and God's things. Right? It is only by the work of the Spirit of God and the Word of God that brings life. And I'm not talking, Jesus isn't talking the good life like we have here in America, where we have a very comfortable, privileged, wonderful, blessed life filled with climate control and fast food and microwaves and self-driving cars, and everything's connected to the internet, and it's so nice and great, and we could replace our knees and hips and heart valves and just keep going. That's not what Jesus is saying. That's not the good life. He's talking eternal life in him, where there is a life without end, there is true peace and joy, there is forgiveness and restoration and renewal, no suffering, no pain, no guilt and shame. We are with God. That's life. Okay? That's what the Father has come to give you. That's what you are receiving through Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. That's what the Spirit of God is renewing and growing within you. Faith to believe in that promise and to receive and to know that truth. So we give thanks to God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that He has done this work, that even though our flesh is no help at all, He gives life. And so see you on Sunday.